Can you stand up and do some jumping jacks? Just kidding. Well, if you haven't picked up on it yet, we're going to talk about prayer today. Why we pray. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about why do we do this? Why do we pray? Why do we come to church? Why do we have communion? Why do we tithe, give offerings? And that, I promise you, will not be a service on why you should give all your money to the church. That's not what it's going to be about. It's going to be about the focus of what the motivation behind our giving is. So just in case you have friends you're going to invite to church and you think, oh no, don't bring them on a day we talk about money. I hope you know me well enough by now that it's not going to be one of those guilt trip people into giving more money. Because God, it's a cliche, but God has no need for you to empty out your wallet so he can have what he needs. He has what he needs. But we're going to talk about those different topics. Today, we're actually going to talk about why we pray. Something that we know, at least we're told growing up, well, you should pray. I know people who have had issues going on in life and they've had some family members that was always their answer. Hey, this is happening. We'll pray about it. Well, this is happening. We'll pray about it. And sometimes that's an escape. Really, we mean, I don't know what to do. Go ask God. When really that's what we should do. But today we're going to talk about, you know, when we look at the Bible, why are we praying? So if you will stand, we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. We're just going to read verses 12, 13, and 14. They're short. And as a reminder, last week we talked about the disciples were up at Pentecost. They were praying and the Holy Spirit came and they filled them with the power of God and they saw the salvation of over 3,000 people. That's incredible. How'd that happen? That's what we're going to talk about today. So, Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 says, then the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. This is after Jesus ascended. They returned to the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying with Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, and Judas, the son of James. So all those people were there. And it says in verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for your word and all of the good knowledge we have in it. And I hope that you will help it soak into our brains today so we can apply it to our lives. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. So the disciples are getting ready to experience this incredible outpouring of God's power, which there are some people today who still want that. I'm one of those people. I think if he did it then, he can do it again. He will do it again, and he wants to do it again because God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's his plan. So if there's a way for God to get the attention of a bunch of people so they can hear that Jesus died for them, and all they have to do is say, God, forgive me. And he will. If there's a way for God to get their attention so they'll do that, he wants to do it. But the thing is, he wants to use us to do that, just like he did here with the disciples. So if he's going to use people, and I am a people, what do I need to do to get myself in line with God so that he can use me? Well, we see that here. It says that the disciples came together and they brought their prayer and petition to God. They were in a group, they were all unified, and they started praying. Maybe that's it. Because what's happened is Jesus has made the promise to them, I'm going away, but I'm going to send somebody in my place who is going to be with you all the time and give you everything you need. Which is different than Jesus was for them. Because Jesus wasn't with them all the time. And sometimes he didn't make sense. You can read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there are a number of times when the disciples are talking to Jesus, ask him a question, and he answers it somewhere out in left field. They think it's somewhere out in left field. Really, he's getting at the heart of the issue with them, but they go, "What in the world are you talking about?" Well, Jesus says, "Once I go, I'm going to send somebody to give you life, to give you this power, and to help you make sense of your life as you're going along the direction." So Jesus made a promise for everyone. I'm going to send this. And then the second thing that happened is the disciples obeyed. Jesus said, "I'm going away, but go to Jerusalem and wait for me there. Tarry," which means go and sit expecting me to do what I've told you I'm going to do. So the disciples did that. They went and prayed. So we need to do that. And we're going to take a walk through this. We've just got, the next slide shows us, I skipped our mission statement. I'm a bad kitty. Can you back up one, Ben? I'm so sorry. It doesn't, you know, it messes up the whole flow of things if I don't do things in order. Okay, so here's what we're all about. Let's say our mission statement together. With the Spirit of God, we will build relationships, lead others to Jesus, and disciple believers to be Christ-like. What did I happen? I did. It's getting there. I'm dense, but once in a while. This comes into that discipling aspect that I want to disciple believers, of which I am one of those people. I need to continually work on myself, not to earn God's love or to earn my salvation, because I can't. But once God says, "Hey, I have a plan for you," I want to do my best to figure out what it is and how I can be good at it. If somebody gives you a gift and says, "Here's something," you need to take it out of the package. And the more potential the gift has, usually the more complicated it is. Like this guitar. It looks simple, but it's not. And it frustrates me to no end. So I talk to people. I listen to people. I watch videos. I read books. What can I do to be better? I want to take that same mindset to becoming a disciple of Jesus and prayer. So what is prayer? Really simple. Prayer, I think it's two more slides up. Prayer is a request for help or an expression of thanks to God. So two things generally happen when I pray. I'm either saying, "God, help me," or "God, thank you," when I pray. There are people who write lots of books about prayer. Good for them. Prayer is saying, "God, help me," or "thank you." That's all it is. So if you think you've got to come up with some big concoction about what you have to say, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Did Jesus ever pray? Of course he did. That's a redundant question. But I wanted to look at some instances where Jesus did pray, because if I can see what Jesus did and how he did it and how he said not to do it, then I get a better idea of what I should be doing too. So what I've noticed is that Jesus prayed before he went to work. No kidding, he really did. When he came to John the Baptist, right when he was just getting started in ministry, John baptized him. And then Jesus said, "All right, I'll be back in a little while." And he went out, and it says for 40 days he went into the wilderness and prayed. He was tempted by Satan. "Hey, are you sure? I've got something really nice over here." "No thanks." He prayed in the wilderness for 40 days. So before he went to work, Jesus spent time preparing for the mission. I know I'm getting ready to go do something. I'm going to spend time praying. He prayed while he was at work. Jesus fed 5,000 people. If you remember the story, there were a bunch of people who were following him. They'd come out. They were out in this nice big grassy knoll. There were deer prancing around and butterflies everywhere. It's beautiful. They had been listening to Jesus talk most of the day, and then it was time to eat. And Jesus did what Jesus does. So go find me some food. Took these 5 loaves and 2 fish and said, God blessed this food. And guess what happened? He fed everybody. And then, after that happened, he said, okay, we've been working. I'm going to take a little break. He sent the disciples across the sea and said, I'll catch up with you. I'm going to go pray. And so he went and prayed. That would be after work. I said during work. He prayed after work. He also prayed during work when he was teaching some of the people. He said, hey, kids, come here. In the middle of his message, whatever he was talking about, he brought the kids to him and stopped and prayed for them. And then when Jesus knew that there was a really big test coming, this is going to be really difficult. I don't know. Well, Jesus knew. He knows everything. This is going to be really difficult, and it's not going to be any fun. I know I have to do it, but I don't want to do it. He prayed. And I see in Jesus the same situations I go through in my own life. I work. I get off of work. During work, there are things that happen. And sometimes there are really big things that I have to do that aren't any fun. And in those same situations in my life, I think, all right, what did Jesus do? He prayed. All right. He did. But does that mean I have to pray? Because Jesus also was beaten to death and crucified. Does that mean I need to be strung up on a tree too out here in the parking lot? No, thank you. I don't want to. Hopefully our country never comes to that. But there are things, just because Jesus did it, does that mean I have to? In John chapter 15, there's a short answer to that. Verses 7 through 8, two verses. Jesus is telling the disciples, he's telling them who he is, what he's been doing. And he describes himself here as a vine. He says at the beginning of chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that is in me does not bear fruit. He takes it away. Verses 7 and 8 say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So Jesus is saying a couple things here. The first is like this word picture. They liked wine. Grape juice was the drink of choice. And everybody knew what he was talking about, because when Jesus said, I am the vine, they could all picture that base coming up out of the ground. And everybody knows that if you take care of the vine, the branches will be good. So they would till the ground around the vine. They would fertilize the vine, knowing that whatever comes up through the vine is going to feed and nourish the people on it. Jesus says, that's me. I'm the source of all of your nourishment and your good food. He said, if you are part of my vine, you'll have everything you need. But if you decide not to take my nourishment, the food I have for you, God's going to cut you off. That's not fun to talk about, but Jesus said it, so it must happen. Which would be similar to those, sometimes we see really big trees that have some beautiful branches on them, nice big leaves, and then there's this tree limb that's just sticking off the side, rotting. It's on the tree, but it's not taking any nourishment from the tree. It stopped taking nourishment from the tree. And when it stopped, it started dying. And that's the kind of picture Jesus is playing with here. He says, I'm the source, and I want you to be a good, productive tree. And the way you do that is you stay in me. You stay connected to me, which is what prayer is. He's saying that I am the source of everything you have. And when we think about prayer, it's not a big, complicated magic formula. I remember that when I was little, sometimes, a lot of times, we stayed with my Grandma Muncie. She's a great woman. I remember two things. She was a church treasurer, so there were many times upstairs, that's where we stayed. She had this little desk, and she would count money. And she could just count money a lot. The other thing I remember about that room is at night when we were getting ready to go to bed, Grandma would sit. Well, we usually knelt. She knelt with us on the bed. She had one of those white bed sheets with the little puff balls on the top of it. She would sit there and say, let's pray. And Grandma Muncie, now Benny Bob, you get over here. Come here, Brad, boy. What's your name? Puke. that lady kneel down to pray and would turn into, and I'm not making fun of her, I'm just telling you. She would say, "Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for thy blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us in thy day." And she turned into King James. I'm like, what happened to Ben, Brad, boy, Jerry, Ben? King James, Grandma, when she went to pray. She had a routine that when Grandma went to pray, she started speaking in the language of this book, which she, that was, you know, I was born in 78. New International wasn't really prominent then. She would speak in the language of God, what she knew, because she had been studying the Bible, and so that's what came out of her. Does that mean I have to pray in King James? Absolutely not. I've lost my edge on King James. It doesn't make any difference the words you say, if you're saying thy or thou, or if you decide to speak Japanese when you pray. Whatever it is, God wants us to talk to him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul tells us, when you're praying, don't ever stop. And for me, this is one of those like, oh, great. He says, pray without ceasing, rejoice always. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Does that mean I have to sit in my room 3 hours before the crack of dawn and pray? Some people do. That doesn't mean that if I haven't ever spent any time in prayer that, well, I've got to start off as a marathon runner. I hate running. I've said that, and I will continue to say that. If I were to start running, it would not be a marathon. It would be a, all right, Ben, let's get to where we can walk up the hill without losing our breath. And then I would start jogging up the hill. And God doesn't expect us, although we can, he doesn't say, all right, I have this big long list of things for you to do for it to qualify as a prayer. He gives us some examples. He said one time there's this lady who had a need and nobody would listen to her, so she went to the king. And she just bugged the snot out of him until the king finally gave her what she wanted. And Jesus used that as an example for prayer. I thought, huh, so I can be annoying to God? Yes. In my mindset, I need to say, all right, I'm going to continue to go to God with this. God has a plan. There's an answer for it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to continue to bring this to God until he does. The other that I just love this example is the Pharisee and the tax collector. Some of you know this story. And what I was talking about earlier, is there a magic formula for us to pray? Are there certain words we have to say? And the answer is no. What I pray is a conversation between me and God. And I used to teach speech class at Ivy Tech. And it was interesting for people coming into class. I would usually have, you know, 3 to 5 people who would tell me, I can't do this. I'll pass out, puke, faint. Some people laughed a lot. Some people cried. Some people would just stand there and shake. I've seen a lot of things. They'd tell me, I just get so nervous. I can't do this. And what I did with class is I started them talking, sitting next to each other, talking to their friends. And we spent like half the class getting to know each other's names and something about them. By the end of the first day, we knew everybody's name and where they were from. And we got to know them. And then we started talking with each other, just sharing a story here and there. You could do it. I have full confidence in you. Tiffany hates talking in front of people. We take that same mindset, though, about God. Like, well, I don't know what to say. God's going to think I'm stupid if I start talking and I don't know what to say. What if I say, well, God, hello? He's going to think I'm dumb. I'm like, no, he won't. This story about the Pharisee and the tax collector helps me see that. He said, there's this guy who thought he was all that and a bucket of chicken. Came out in the middle of the courtyard to pray for people so everybody could see how great his prayer was. A big, long, eloquent prayer. It's one of those prayers when he gets done, people think, man, that was amazing. I wish I could pray like that. And then Jesus says, there was this other guy. He was a tax collector. Everybody hates tax collectors. He said, this guy hid in the corner. And he said, God, forgive me. I'm an awful person, and I can't even look up. I'm sorry. And Jesus said, now that guy right there is the one that gets it. It's not about the show. It's about, are you talking honestly with me? And when I think about how I want to pray, sometimes when I pray and I get done, I think, I wonder if they understood a word I said. Because when I pray, my goal is to talk to God. I know, unfortunately, sometimes you all have to listen to it. But my thinking is, I'm talking to God. I don't want to talk at, well, I know Carissa is going through this, so I'm going to pray out loud and really preach to Carissa about this while I'm praying. Or somebody else is dealing with something and I'm going to pray about this. Really, I'm just preaching at them. That's not prayer. Prayer is when I am focused on God. And that's what God wants me to do. And the disciples at one point even said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he did. And we recite this prayer. It's found, one of them, there are a few versions. One of them is in Luke chapter 11. But, and you may even know this. Jesus says, okay, here's how you pray. He says, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus said, when you pray, that's how you pray. That's pretty short. Now, how do you reconcile that with Jesus going out and spending 40 days in the wilderness? What do you say for 40 days? I'm like, I'm done after, 30 seconds. There we said it. He's saying the focus is, when I'm praying, and I try to think about this too, he actually did a few things in this prayer. Jesus first said, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. He is putting God where he belongs. Saying, God, I recognize who you are and your unlimited resources. And sometimes that's good for me when I start praying, because I usually have a whole bunch of things in my mind that I need to ask God to do. God, do this and do this and do this and do this. And I don't know how I'm going to do this. Please make this happen. And it's good for me to start by saying, God, I realize that you have unlimited resources and you're capable of doing anything you want. And that's what Jesus says. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. You're holy. You're perfect. Everything you do is right. And then he says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, does God get everything he wants in heaven? Yes. Heaven works the way God wants it to, he wants it to work. And Jesus said, we want that same thing here on earth. So whatever's happening in my life, I want your plan to happen. And then Jesus says, ask him for your needs. Give me today my daily bread. The things that I need today to live, please give it to me. And then he says, please forgive me. If I've done something wrong to other people, forgive me. I'll forgive them for what they've done to me. And then keep us away from temptation. So when we think about prayer, sometimes we think, well, it's really big and complicated. And when I listen to other people pray, I get really intimidated and I think, God won't even know what I'm saying, because half the time I don't know what I'm saying. So there's no point in praying. It doesn't make any sense. But when we look at what Jesus said, it's not complicated. He says, talk to God. Tell him what you need. Ask him for what you need. Ask him to forgive you. And when I think about what I should be doing in my own life, probably should be doing that, because sometimes I spend way too much time initially. My first response is to, okay, I'll figure it out. How can I figure this out? What can I do to make this happen? There's a need. How do I fix it? That's a Ben Muncy response. I get it from my dad. If something's broken, how do I fix it? And we try to step in, and I've learned, and this is good for guys to know too, especially when Carissa's telling me about things that are going on, I have learned that I should not say, well, why didn't you do this? The try to fix it part. I just, if she has something, she's sharing her concerns with me. Well, I can fix it. Because sometimes she doesn't want me to just fix it. She just wants me to listen. And sometimes I need to take that same time and just listen to God. God, here's my need. What do you think? Instead of trying to jump in and fix it. And that's what prayer is. And I see that Jesus did this many times. And this is a process for me too. My mind doesn't shut down. If I have 2 cups of coffee, it's out of control. And for me to think that I have to sit for 3 hours a day and pray, it's not going to happen. I can't sit. But can I pray? Yes. And this is just an example. Doesn't mean you have to do this, but what I've learned is, you know, I can find 10 minutes. If I'm eating my breakfast, I can spend some time saying, God, what do you think about this? Here's what's going on in my life. Can you help me? If I'm driving to work and I'm thinking about the stuff I have to do, I'm like, all right, God, you understand this. You can help me make sense of it. If something's going on at home or I'm out somewhere and I think, oh, all right, God, this is when Paul says, pray continually, pray without ceasing. He's not saying go sit in your room all the time. He's saying as you're living your life, your mindset should be, this is what I have to deal with. God, help me to know how to deal with it. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about Moses and the Israelites. God brought them out of Egypt, did these crazy, amazing things, and then they came to the problem of no water twice. And their first response was, Moses, you and your God just brought us out here to kill us, which is stupid, but they did it. And I think sometimes I have that same stupid response. Like, God, you brought me here. Now look what you've done. And what we see in Moses and his response is that instead of saying, oh, no, you're right, he said, let me go talk to God. Moses didn't flip out the first few times. He ended up having a little problem at the end. Got a little full of himself. But when this big problem came, he didn't go, oh, no, God, you failed me. He said, God, I'm sure you have a plan. What is it? And God said, there's a rock. Go hit it. And he did, and this water came gushing out. Well, you know, I never would have thought of that. Exactly. I'm glad you asked. That's what you need to do. I can take that same mindset with me of, okay, something's happening. I don't know how to handle it. Somebody's sick. I don't know how to handle it. My car has broken down for the 5th time in the last 3 months. What in the world, God? There are a whole list of things. Instead of saying, God, why have you failed me? He said, you know, sometimes if you just sit down and say, hey, God, what are you thinking here? What's your plan? He'll show it to us. And that's what prayer is. You don't have to pray for 6 hours a day. I can tell you that if the more time you spend talking to God, the more sense life will make. And there, it's good sometimes just to take an afternoon and go walk down to the creek if you live in town, or if you want to go sit in the park and just sit on a bench and force yourself to not do anything but say, God, if there's something you have for me that I've just been too busy to hear, I'm just going to sit here and listen. Those times are good. But I don't want us to get so caught up in thinking that prayer has to be this 2-hour marathon that because I only have 10 minutes, I might as well not even try. Sometimes I talk to Krista 5 minutes at a time during the day. Sometimes you talk to your spouses 4 or 5 times at 5 minutes at a time during the day. I'm guaranteeing you God's not any different. He said, I just want to know that you realize that I'm still here. So when we face prayer and we think about it, do I have 10 minutes while I'm eating breakfast? Sure do. Do I drive to work? Sure do. Do I drive home from work? Sure do. Jesus went to work, came home from work. While he was at work, things happened. I do too. And so to start this process of thinking, it's not complicated, and I do have time. We all have time to pray. And it's funny how my mind still goes and goes when I'm praying. I end up in some random, I have no idea how I got their thoughts. Like, Where in the world did that come from? That happens. It's okay. God, I don't know what you're doing in my brain right now, but it's not perfect. It's not a science. Just taking the time with God. Next week, we're going to take a look at, okay, when we pray, how do we do it? And this is going to be focused on one word, and some of you may already know that word. God says, when you ask me something, you need to have this thing. When you ask, come to me with this one thing. Fill in the blank. If you know it, don't tell anyone. Just kidding. But sometimes these feel like long monologues about certain issues. Prayer is something that we just, sometimes we just have to do it. We have to make ourselves think about it. But once we do, I know once I start, I'm just telling you, I put my Bible and my little devotion book in certain places as a reminder. All right, I'm going to do this when I get here. And when I do, it's amazing how much different the days go. And I want that for you too. So let's take some time, whether it's while the kids are still sleeping or while they're doing whatever they do, just to spend, you know, 5 minutes and saying, God, here's what's going on. Is there anything you have for me that I don't see yet? And I guarantee you, he'll start answering. Promise. If you'd stand with me, we will close. This isn't a pep session, but it's important to know how to ask God, and it's not complicated. You don't have to be nervous. Sometimes if you listen to me pray, when I pray by myself, I'd say there's no way God heard a word you said, but he does, because he just wants me to talk to him. Let's pray. We're glad, God, that you've given us your word, and I ask for me and all the people in here that you would just continue to remind us throughout our days, just to take a second, say good morning, good afternoon, and ask what you have planned for us. And when you bring things into our lives that we don't understand, I hope that you become the first thing I think of, so I don't have to spend too much time panicking or worrying. I can just say, God, what do you want from me out of this? Help me to think of that more, and help me to come to you first with the things that are going on in my life, and know that I don't have to compare myself to other people. I just compare myself to you, and you can be the only guide that I need. I know that you will reward is a weird word, but you recognize when we make efforts, and you will reward our efforts. So as we continue to make efforts to be more of who you want us to be, I know you will continue to find ways to say, thank you, you're doing a good job. Make those obvious to us so we don't miss them. We believe that you will, and you've made it possible. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you. Amen. I have one announcement before you go. Next Sunday night starts district assembly. Depending on how you are, some of you are like, yes, I want to go. Some of you are like, ah, I'd rather sleep. For whatever your mindset is, the teens are starting Sunday night, and it's a lot of fun. So I guarantee you, if you want to go and be part of that. But each night, we're going to have the church van leaving from the church to go. It's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So we're going to have the church van going each one of those nights. So we're a week away still. I'm just giving you a heads up. Yes. So we're going to have the church van going. If you want to come next Sunday, I'll tell you what time you need to be here at church to catch that van to district assembly. It's going to be a lot of people, good music, and you get to meet some new people. The second and last thing is next Sunday, our kids are going to do their sign language song. So they've been working on this for a while. So they're going to come up here and do their song and sign language, and all those cute little kids moving their little fingers, doing those hand signals, sign language. So if you know somebody that you think might enjoy it, invite them to come. And make sure you come and watch them too. Have a great week.